The faculty and students of Bluefield College invite you to join us for evening devotions. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made?" From Mark 14:4. Sooner or later, everyone travels the road of criticism. The greater the life, the nobler the endeavor, the more certain is this consequence. The Apostle Paul was often unjustly condemned. The disciples were sinfully described as drunk at Pentecost. And men even accused our perfect Lord of being demon-possessed. In the story related in Mark 14, a woman graciously lavished a very precious box of ointment upon the Savior. Yet some were offended and found fault with her. Jesus, however, defended the action, saying, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." Few people criticize in love. Most are vindictive and cruel and act very superior. In fact, it is not very wide of the mark to say, criticism is frequently pride in action. The acid test of Christian character is this: can you take it? Can you labor without reward and receive unjust censure without bitterness? If so, God will be pleased and will bless your life with his joy. Remember, you can't raise yourself by lowering somebody else. The faculty and students of Bluefield College invite you to join us for evening devotions. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. Life is full of uncertainties. The unexpected always seems to be happening. Therefore, it is especially unwise to put off until tomorrow the spiritual duties of today. Opportunities frequently vanish, and then eternal regrets may well result from our slow obedience. While we admire Abraham Lincoln and honor his memory, there is one thing in which we cannot hold him up as a shining example, and that is in regard to putting off his public confession of his faith in Christ. Lincoln read the Bible, prayed, and had high moral principles. Yet, It has often been debated whether he was a true believer. The question arises largely from his reluctance to join any local church and thus become identified with the people of God. He attended the First Presbyterian Church in Springfield, Illinois, but hesitated when asked to make confession of his faith. Although he had a specially assigned pew and contributed regularly to the church's expenses, he did not join. He said little or nothing about his personal salvation and hope of heaven. But it is now known that for months he was under deep conviction concerning these matters. The history of the New York Presbyterian Church, Washington, D.C., was recently researched, and among the documents found in the archives was a letter signed by President Lincoln. It stated that he had given due consideration to the question of his soul and was finally ready to give a public confession of his faith in Christ. The letter was written on April the 13th, 1865. His reception into the church was set for Sunday, April the 18th. However, on April the 14th, 1865, one day after he wrote the letter, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. How many thoughts might have been influenced by his public testimony, no one knows. But the martyred president had waited just a little too long and lost a golden opportunity. Satan cares not how spiritual your intentions may be, nor how holy your resolutions, if only they are fixed for tomorrow. The faculty and students of Bluefield College invite you to join us for evening devotions. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. In his foreword to A.J. Gordon's book, The Ministry of the Holy Spirit, F.B. Meyer points out that there are three powerful currents in the world today: materialism, criticism, and literaryism. Materialism denies or ignores the supernatural and concentrates on satisfying the outward needs of life. Criticism is clever at analysis. Literaryism would judge power or force by words or delicacy of expression. Materialism fails to satisfy, Meyer points out, for even if all material necessities were supplied, there would still be discontent in some other form. Criticism fails, for only truth based on the authoritative word of God can appease the consuming hunger of the mind for data to answer the questions of life, death, and God. Literaryism fails, since the highest power is not in the words or metaphors or bursts of eloquence, but in the dwelling and outworking of the Word, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom and power of God. To those swept up in pursuing the things of this world, the Savior warns, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. To those who would reduce the Scriptures to the level of other writings, through their microscopic examination and dissection, the psalmist declares that God's word is true from the beginning. To those who would elevate elegance and beauty of speech above that of truth itself, the Apostle Paul says, "My speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." In these days, when so many things try to capture the minds of men and women, and even deflect Christianity from its course, let us with renewed zeal preach the word, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. This alone can satisfy the cravings of the human heart. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The truly wise man does not criticize the Bible. He lets the Bible criticize him.